Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Jorn Lambert, who is Group Executive for Digital Convergence for MasterCard. Jorn, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen.
We've given you a few days to recover from your jet lag, from your return from Barcelona and your time at Mobile World Congress, but we wanted to get caught up on some of the observations that you made while you were there, and of course, the things that MasterCard announced as part of the Mobile World Congress as well. But let's start with the general announcements. There were many. So which surprised you and why?
I would say what surprised us more than the announcement itself is the intensity of the activity that is happening in this place. I mean, Mobile World Congress used to be a conference which was very telco-centric. I think it has morphed into something where the entire digital industry is converging, and where the big topics of digitization are coming to the forefront. And so many of the most prominent announcements did not come actually from the telco industry itself, but from some of the entities or the industry leaders within digital. I think from our perspective, one thing that is very clear is that shift to digital that we've talked about now for a while as a fundamental consumer trend is top of mind in many, many industries right now. I mean, consumers entertain, interact, do all sorts of things with their digital devices. And we believe that the sentence that our chief product officer coins as every device is a commerce, or every connected device is a commerce device, is really what is pervasive in anything that we've seen at World Congress.
I would agree with you. I think the possibilities are really, really exciting. And it is interesting to watch how Mobile World Congress has evolved and become much more than just about the telco industry. Were there a couple of major themes or takeaways as you reflect on your time there that you think are worth mentioning?
I think one major takeaway is that the era of beyond the mobile phone is really there, right? So people had talked about wearables a fair amount, talked about Internet of Things a fair amount. You saw when you walked around the aisles, you saw drones flying around at times. So this is really not anymore about the mobile device, but this is about how commerce is conducted beyond the mobile device through a number of other things. And for us, obviously, this is a very relevant trend, because as we are thinking about our payments architecture, we need to think not just about the mobile, but about how payment credentials and tokens go in all sorts of environments and allow consumers to make payments and to conduct commerce on these devices.
So you mentioned wearables. I agree that there's been a lot of talk about wearables, but they haven't quite taken off in a mainstream kind of way. I mean, early adopters will always buy the next thing because they're curious and they're early adopters. But do you have a sense of what kind of wearable technologies you think are most promising and do have the potential to be adopted by more than just the early adopter crowd?
I think what's interesting thus far is wearables which have a very specific function, be it counting your steps or allow you to pay some other things. But multi-purpose wearable devices are still quite rare and not really integrated. I think this year we'll see a number of devices hit the market which are really have a very comprehensive functionality set that combine health functions with communication and interaction functions with, in our view as well, with payments. So I think as these become more useful to consumers, we'll probably see broader adoption.
I think it is so interesting because I think we focused on wearables as almost accessories or adornments that replace other things. So watches that replace the watch that you currently wear. But it may be that wearables become things that are embedded into clothing. I'm a runner, so I was watching, you know, one of the brands that is embedding technology into clothing that monitor your pace and body functions. I mean, I think that's an interesting potential. I would love for my sleeve to be able to pay for things as I'm out running around.
And I think typically, will everybody walk around or run around with a wearable in the next 2 years? Probably not, right? But I do see this becoming mainstream rapidly, as many of these new trends get, you know, rapid adoption as people suddenly see how it all comes together. In any case, our role here is to make sure that payments is part of this functionality and that people can use it if they want to, just like people using their mobile can use their mobile, people using their plastic can use their plastic. So I think consumer choice here is what we are looking for, and that is just one other way of people to conduct commerce. And I have a personal view that this will take off in a very meaningful way, but as all innovations, future will tell, and consumers' appetite will show the way.
I sense a lot of momentum and energy in the space. And I think you pointed out earlier that it's beyond the mobile device, the smartphone. It really is about a connected world and a digital world. Do you sense the same kind of energy? And if so, what is MasterCard doing to keep the energy and momentum moving? What is your role in driving connected commerce and digital commerce forward?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we learned a lot over the years, and I think we're at a point in time whereby we now kind of understand what it will take for really scaling this. And it's essentially three things that we need to get right? So the first one is usability, kind of user experience, and making sure that that is very slick and intuitive to the consumer. The second one that we all know about is security. If you move into payments, you better have it secure, because, you know, that's not something that can sustain flaws in security. And the third one is scalability. And payments industry is a fragmented industry. You have many, many intermediaries in any payment transaction. And so it is actually where in the past some initiatives have not really blossomed. It is because the entire ecosystem has to come along. Where we have, I believe, done a lot of work is certainly around the security, making sure that the security specifications are in place and are top notch, but also making sure that the infrastructure is in place so that these solutions can scale. And so all of the work that we've done around tokenization standards, making sure that those security standards are in place, the digital enablement system, which allows to connect multiple banks and multiple devices to be connected in a seamless way, this kind of work that we've done over the last couple of years has really, I think, put the platform there to scale, and so that all these innovators and all these entities that bring superb user experiences to the consumer can actually connect with the banking industry through our rails. I think that is probably the biggest step change that is occurring now, that has occurred in the last 12 months. We've put the mechanism in place for these things to really reach millions and millions of consumers and not go bank by bank, country by country, as perhaps we were in the past. That in combination of some very strong players on the device and the OS side puts us in a place to really win. We obviously, sitting here in the US and looking at this space, we obviously get very excited about those experiences. One theme that was also very strongly present in Mobile World Congress and that we are also considering a major priority is looking at the less developed world, those consumers, and we estimate over 2 billion consumers now that do not have access to financial services or even transaction services, that often, and Zuckerberg's announcement was discussion was around that, that often don't have access to the digital data services. You know, we need to do a collective effort to bring these people into the financial inclusive space as well. And so when we think about digitization, when we think about the shift to digital, it is not just what we just discussed before, but for us, enabling all these underserved people is just as important, is just as critical for us and for these people itself.
Well, and I think you make a good point that the three drivers of any of this, whether you're talking about solving a problem for the lesser developed countries or in developed markets that are looking at the next big innovation, it has to be something that consumers want to use, it has to be secure, and it has to scale. I mean, I think those are really crisp and important attributes that everyone needs to keep in mind. And they're all very interdependent. They're all very interrelated. You can't scale something that consumers don't want and don't feel is secure. So it's a good way to be mindful of the things that matter.
Yes. And as MasterCard, obviously in an environment which is global, has many countries, many banks, many players, we can obviously play an important role on connecting the dots. It's not our purpose to be the one that interacts with the consumer. I mean, others do that. We're not a B2C company itself. So others can provide the superb experiences for the consumers, but we're there to connect all the different parties and to make sure that you can scale this up as opposed to try to go at it bank by bank, country by country.
I would agree with that. Just a final question. You mentioned tokenization and tokenization standards. Is it your view that the way in which you've approached the notion of tokenization really does allow us to take tokenization as a way of securing not just transactions, but consumer identity?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that when we did tokenization that we set out to do, right? The first principle that we said is, well, whatever we do in tokenization has to be backwards compatible. It's what we've done in all our history, right? So the first cards were embossed and were used as zip-zap devices. Cards that are issued today, which are very sophisticated, still are backward compatible with these kind of zip-zap devices, still have a max stripe, even if they have a chip. And similarly, we said, well, tokens need to be backward compatible because if you're asking everybody in the industry to change all at the same time for the good of mankind, chances are it's not going to happen, right? The rails out there need to be respected. And so we decided it has to be backward compatible, which I think is a very important principle. The second point that talks to you towards what you're saying is consumers' identity is a very important thing. As they put their credential in multiple card-on-file systems, devices, and other places, you are potentially creating a number of points of compromise, a number of points of weakness in the system. So by eliminating the tie between the consumer identity and the token that actually goes into these devices, you are protecting the consumer's identity. And the token is always specifically linked to a device or a channel. So when it comes back to us, we can verify, does that token come from that channel or from that device? If it is, then great, let's kind of pass it on to the token translation service so you can tie it back to the former identity. If it doesn't, then we interrupt that chain and say, no, this cannot happen. So it is responding to clearly a very important consumer need and consumer concern. But it also, I think, solves, you know, a fundamental problem of a trend that is irreversible, right? This kind of proliferation of place where your credential goes is only going to increase. And so severing that tie between your identity and the token itself is an important step here.
I agree. I think it's a smart way to make the process accelerate and also remove the friction on the part of the consumer. Getting back to your usability, security, and scalability attributes, it certainly seems to check all of those boxes. Well, listen, Jorn, it was very nice to get the update from your week away at Mobile World Congress. It's been great talking to you. Thanks for your insights and observations.
Thank you, Karen.
Awesome. Okay, I thought that was great. Brian, are you okay with that?
Yeah, excellent.